Grace to you and peace from God our Heavenly Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. With the plaintive beauty of that song still lingering in the air, and a fresh image of faces gathered around the manger, we wonder, Mary, what did you know? What did a young, unsuspecting woman so very far from a place of her own, and in a stable instead of a bed, awaiting the culmination of birth, really know about what was happening to her in that dark and lonely corner of the world, and what was happening through her on behalf of the whole world? Mary, what did you know? She knew this wasn't her plan, this scandal of pregnancy before she was even married. She knew you didn't cross the Romans in those days, so she and her fiancé would obey the census decree no matter what. And by what must have been sheer exhaustion, she knew that she was a long, long way from home, from the support of her surrounding family and neighbors. She knew that birth, that this event wouldn't be easy. Birth never is. But there was more that Mary knew. Mary knew that a messenger from God had spoken to her directly and declared her to be the favored one, and promised her a miracle beyond expectation. She knew the messenger's announcement was true, at least in part, for her youthful purity had transformed into motherly waiting, and by no means of her own. She also knew that she was not entirely alone in an unexpected, miraculous pregnancy. Her own cousin Elizabeth, several decades her senior, had also been enabled to conceive well beyond the normal years. And God was demonstrating the impossible in the womb of her beloved relative, even as the impossible was changing her own body. These things Mary knew. But the song seems to be asking about more than just factual knowledge. The lyrics, the singers, seem to be appealing instead, Mary, what did you understand? Mary, did you truly understand what the angel meant when he declared that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you grasp how it could be that the child that you would deliver would soon enough, in fact, deliver you? What could such an announcement have meant to you in your own mind as you were reeling to hear that your son, the child of your own body, was to be called the Son of the Most High? You see, Mary surely would have known that the title Most High was not meant to be some kind of poetic phrase, and it surely was not attached to any earthly kingdom. It was, in fact, a title name of God. And her son, according to the angel, was to be called his son, the Son of the Most High. Even so, as she must have strained to grasp how this would change her life, could she possibly have understood how her own life was about to change the very course of humanity? We don't know what she understood. Scripture does reveal she had a heart open to understanding. You remember her reaction after the shepherds mysteriously arrived following the news of their own angelic announcement. Luke records, Mary kept all these things, pondering them in her heart. What Mary knew or understood is far less significant than the characteristic that is most remarkable, most admirable in this young mother. She believed the promise of God. I am the Lord's servant, she said to the angel. May it be to me as you have said. And later on, her cousin Elizabeth would rejoice over Mary and exclaim, blessed is she who has believed what the Lord has said to her, that it will be accomplished. She believed, even though she couldn't have known what Jesus would do in his earthly ministry. She couldn't have known that he would calm a storm, that he would walk on water, that he would give sight to a blind man. She didn't need to know. She needed only to have that belief in God that gave voice to her own faith, so that when she was with Elizabeth, Mary herself would exclaim, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. By such faith, she walked the unknowable road toward the incarnation of the Christ. As you come here tonight to participate in the tradition of this age-old celebration, what do you know? What do you know of this event, this story, this birth, this child? I suppose what we know is probably about as varied as the family stories that we bring together tonight. We know that several billion people the world over will set this evening and the following morning aside to celebrate this particular birth. You may know that our Eastern Orthodox brothers and sisters in Christ will choose a slightly different day, but for the very same celebration. We know that the testimony of the earliest witnesses to Jesus' life would have that testimony recorded, and it would become the most widely circulated writing in all of history throughout all the world. We know that neither periods of persecution, when the faithful are threatened with violence, or periods of prosperity when God seems so unnecessary, that neither of those have eradicated Christianity and its continuing spread the world over. We know this event every year is a catalyst for family reunions, and it is a primary driver of retail trade, and that is true regardless of religious adherence. These things of Christmas, we know. But do we, all these centuries later, and with the full text of Scripture so readily before us, And with generations of teaching and the proclamation of God's word, do we truly understand what happened that night so long ago? Can we honestly claim, in all our modern sophistication, that we understand how a virgin conceived a son through the overshadowing of the Holy Spirit? Can we grasp what the angels declared to those shepherds in terrifying glory? Unto you this day is born a Savior. He is Christ the Lord. Can you actually wrap your mind around what it means that a single birth, 2 millennia past, has an eternal bearing on your life? The honest answer is no, you cannot. We cannot. We cannot fully and finally understand what it means that this child is Emmanuel, God with us. That truth is simply too big to be grasped by intellect alone. And it is just that human inability to fully understand that causes a great many people to leave this miraculous event within the confines of the church and turn away. But tonight, we are instead invited to add our voices to the humble words of assent of Mary. May your word to me be fulfilled. We are invited again to believe. To believe the word of God. To believe the promises of God. And that invitation stands equally for all of us. Whether you feel you have a pretty firm grasp on the whole concept of God's covenant with his people, or if you come here tonight with more questions than answers. For we all stand this night, as every night, every day, on the threshold of eternity. Every one of us, no matter how young or old you are, almost there, still waiting. We are invited to hear and believe the message conveyed to us by the Christ child that was born to this woman, the words of Jesus, "I have called you by name, and you are mine." These words were spoken when Jesus was a grown man, when he was beginning to reveal who he was and why it was that he walked among us. And yet, even at that time, his appearance was entirely indistinguishable from any other man. You couldn't really know who he was by looking at him. There was no radiant glory about him as we might expect from God himself. There was no halo above his head as the classical artists portray. Yes, by his word or his touch, he would convey miraculous power from time to time. And yet what was always most important about Jesus' earthly ministry was the message itself. Repent and believe, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And when he died on that cross, we couldn't see all the sins of the world heaped upon him. No one could understand how defeat was actually victory. And when he rose again, we still couldn't see how he defeated death, not just for himself, but for all of us. But we could hear his words, "Father, forgive them, and it is finished." We could hear those words, victorious from the grave, "Believe in God, believe also in me. I go to prepare a place for you." This is the message of utmost importance, a message that can finally only be believed. Jesus Christ, Son of the Most High God, born for you. Born for you personally, by name. At the celebration of Christmas, God points to the manger and he says, "Behold, my love for you is born among you." But even tonight, our Lord invites you to look beyond the manger and toward the cross and to hear God declare to us again, "Behold, my love for you is boundless." However knowledgeable and sophisticated we may become, the greatest of all truth we must still receive by faith. May your faith see this newborn Jesus as a Savior, Lord and Savior, born unto you. And believing the promises of God, may you respond in humble faith, as Mary did, in quiet prayer to God. "May it be to me according to your word." Merry Christmas. Amen.